Chapter 9. "This is the new wood cabin," apostrophe said he. She could just discern the outline of a little house, not unlike a bathing machine without wheels. "I have kept lights ready here," apostrophe he went on, "as I thought you might come any evening, and possibly bring company." Apostrophe, "Don't criticize me for coming alone," apostrophe she exclaimed with sensitive promptness. "There are social reasons for what I do of which you know nothing." Apostrophe, "Perhaps it is much to my discredit that I don't know." Apostrophe, "Not at all. You are all the better for it. Heaven forbid that I should enlighten you. Well, I see this is the hut. But I am more curious to go to the top of the tower and make discoveries." Apostrophe, he brought a little lantern from the cabin and lighted her up the winding staircase to the temple of that sublime mystery on whose threshold he stood as priest. The top of the column was quite changed. The tub-shaped space within the parapet, formerly open to the air and sun, was now arched over by a light dome of lathwork covered with felt. But this dome was not fixed. At the line where its base descended to the parapet there were half a dozen iron balls, precisely like cannon shot, standing loosely in a groove, and on these the dome rested its whole weight. In the side of the dome was a slit, through which the wind blew, and the north star beamed, and towards it the end of the great telescope was directed. This latter magnificent object, with its circles, axes, and handles complete, was securely fixed in the middle of the floor. "But you can only see one part of the sky through that slit," apostrophe said she. The astronomer stretched out his arm, and the whole dome turned horizontally round, running on the balls with a rumble like thunder. Instead of the star Polaris, which had first been peeping in through the slit, there now appeared the countenances of Castor and Pollux. Swithin then manipulated the equatorial, and put it through its capabilities in like manner. She was enchanted. Being rather excitable, she even clapped her hands just once. She turned to him. "Now are you happy?" Apostrophe, "But it is all yours, Lady Constantine." Apostrophe, "At this moment. But that's a defect which can soon be remedied. When is your birthday?" Apostrophe, "Next month, the 7th. Apostrophe, "Then it shall all be yours, a birthday present." Apostrophe, the young man protested. It was too much. "No, you must accept it all, equatorial, dome stand, hut, and everything that has been put here for this astronomical purpose. The possession of these apparatus would only compromise me. Already they are reputed to be yours, and they must be made yours. There is no help for it. If ever," her voice lost some firmness, "if ever you go away from me, from this place, I mean, and marry, and settle in a new home elsewhere for good, and forget me, you must take these things, equatorial and all, and never tell your wife or anybody how they came to be yours. Apostrophe, I wish I could do something more for you." Apostrophe, exclaimed the much moved astronomer. "If you could, but share my fame, supposing I get any, which I may die before doing, it would be a little compensation. As to my going away and marrying, I certainly shall not. I may go away, but I shall never marry." Apostrophe, "Why not?" Apostrophe, "A beloved science is enough wife for me, combined, perhaps, with a little warm friendship with one of kindred pursuits." Apostrophe, "Who is the friend of kindred pursuits?" Apostrophe, "Yourself I should like it to be." Apostrophe, "You would have to become a woman, before I could be that, publicly, or I a man," apostrophe she replied, with dry melancholy. "Why I a woman, or you a man, dear Lady Constantine?" Apostrophe, "I cannot explain. No. You must keep your fame and your science all to yourself, and I must keep my troubles." Apostrophe, Swithin, to divert her from melancholy, not knowing that in the expression of her melancholy thus and now she found much pleasure, changed the subject by asking if they should take some observations. Yes, the scenery is well hung tonight, apostrophe she said looking out upon the heavens. Then they proceeded to scan the sky, roving from planet to star, from single stars to double stars, from double to colored stars, in the cursory manner of the merely curious. They plunged down to that at other times invisible multitude in the back rows of the celestial theater, remote layers of constellations whose shapes were new and singular, pretty twinklers which for infinite ages had spent their beams without calling forth from a single earthly poet a single line, or being able to bestow a ray of comfort on a single benighted traveler. And to think, apostrophe said Lady Constantine, that the whole race of shepherds, since the beginning of the world, even those immortal shepherds who watched near Bethlehem, should have gone into their graves without knowing that for one star that lighted them in their labors, there were 100 as good behind trying to do so. I have a feeling for this instrument not unlike the awe I should feel in the presence of a great magician, in whom I really believed. Its powers are so enormous, and weird, and fantastical, that I should have a personal fear in being with it alone. Music drew an angel down, said the poet. But what is that to drawing down worlds? I often experience a kind of fear of the sky, after sitting in the observing chair a long time, he answered. And when I walk home afterwards I also fear it, for what I know is there, but cannot see, as one naturally fears the presence of a vast formless something that only reveals a very little of itself. That's partly what I meant by saying that magnitude, which up to a certain point has grandeur, has beyond it ghastliness. Thus the interest of their sidereal observations led them on, till the knowledge that scarce any other human vision was traveling within 100 million miles of their own, gave them such a sense of the isolation of that faculty as, almost to be a sense of isolation in respect of their whole personality, causing a shudder at its absoluteness. At night, when human discords and harmonies are hushed, in a general sense, for the greater part of 12 hours, there is nothing to moderate the blow with which the infinitely great, the stellar universe, strikes down upon the infinitely little, the mind of the beholder. And this was the case now. Having got closer to immensity than their fellow creatures, they saw at once its beauty and its frightfulness. They more and more felt the contrast between their own tiny magnitudes, and those among which they had recklessly plunged, till they were oppressed with the presence of a vastness they could not cope with even as an idea, and which hung about them like a nightmare. He stood by her while she observed. She by him when they changed places. Once that Swithin's emancipation from a trammeling body had been effected by the telescope, and he was well away in space, she felt her influence over him diminishing to nothing. He was quite unconscious of his terrestrial neighborings, and of herself as one of them. It still further reduced her towards unvarnished simplicity in her manner to him. The silence was broken only by the ticking of the clockwork which gave diurnal motion to the instrument. The stars moved on, the end of the telescope followed, but their tongues stood still. To expect that he was ever voluntarily going, to end the pause by speech was apparently futile. She laid her hand upon his arm. He started, withdrew his eye from the telescope, and brought himself back to the earth by a visible almost painful effort. "Do come out of it," she coaxed, with a softness in her voice which any man, but unpracticed Swithin would have felt to be exquisite. "I feel that I have been so foolish, as to put in your hands an instrument, to effect my own annihilation. Not a word have you spoken for the last 10 minutes. I have been mentally getting on with my great theory. I hope soon to be able to publish it to the world. What, are you going? I will walk with you, Lady Constantine. When will you come again? When your great theory is published to the world. X, Lady Constantine, if narrowly observed at this time, would have seemed to be deeply troubled in conscience, and particularly after the interview above described. Ash Wednesday occurred in the calendar a few days later, and she went to morning service with a look of genuine contrition on her emotional and yearning countenance. Besides herself, the congregation consisted only of the parson, clerk, schoolchildren, and three old people living on alms, who sat under the reading desk, and thus, when Mr. Torkingham blazed forth the denunciatory sentences of the commination, nearly the whole force of them seemed to descend upon her own shoulders. Looking across the empty pews, she saw through the one or two clear panes of the window opposite a youthful figure in the churchyard, and the very feeling against which as he had tried to pray returned again irresistibly. When she came out, and had crossed into the private walk, Swithin came forward to speak to her. This was a most unusual circumstance, and argued a matter of importance. I have made an amazing discovery in connection with the variable stars, apostrophe he exclaimed. It will excite the whole astronomical world, and the world outside but little less. I had long suspected the true secret of their variability, but it was by the merest chance on earth that I hit upon a proof of my guess. Your equatorial has done it, my good, kind Lady Constantine, and our fame is established forever. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he sprang into the air, and waved his hat in his triumph. Oh, I am so glad, so rejoiced. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she cried. What is it? But don't stop to tell me. Publish it at once in some paper, nail your name to it, or somebody will seize the idea and appropriate it, forestall you in some way. It will be Adams and Leverrier over again. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if I may walk with you, I will explain the nature of the discovery. It accounts for the occasional green tint of Castor, and every difficulty. I said I would be the Copernicus of the stellar system, and I have begun to be. Yet who knows? Apostrophe, now don't be so up and down. I shall not understand your explanation, and I would rather not know it. I shall reveal it, if it is very grand. Women, you know, are not safe depositaries of such valuable secrets. You may walk with me a little way, with great pleasure. Then go and write your account, so as to ensure your ownership of the discovery. Dot dot dot, but how you have watched. Apostrophe she cried, in a sudden accession of anxiety, as she turned to look more closely at him. The orbits of your eyes are leaden, and your eyelids are red and heavy. Don't do it, pray don't. You will be ill, and break down. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have, it is true, been up a little late this last week, apostrophe he said cheerfully. In fact, I couldn't tear myself away from the equatorial. It is such a wonderful possession, that it keeps me there till daylight. But what does that matter, now I have made the discovery. Apostrophe, apostrophe, ah, it does matter. Now, promise me, I insist, that you will not commit such imprudences again. For what should I do, if my astronomer royal were to die? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she laughed, but far too apprehensively, to be effective as a display of levity. They parted, and he went home, to write out his paper. He promised to call, as soon as his discovery was in print. Then they waited for the result. It is impossible to describe the tremulous state of Lady Constantine during the interval. The warm interest she took in Swithin St. Cleeve, many would have said dangerously warm interest, made his hopes her hopes. And though she sometimes admitted to herself that great allowance was requisite for the overweening confidence of youth in the future, she permitted herself to be blinded to probabilities for the pleasure of sharing his dreams. It seemed not unreasonable to suppose the present hour to be the beginning of realization to her darling wish that this young man should become famous. He had worked hard, and why should he not be famous early? His very simplicity in mundane affairs afforded a strong presumption that in things celestial he might be wise. to obtain support for this hypothesis, as he had only to think over the lives of many eminent astronomers. She waited feverishly for the flourish of trumpets from afar, by which she expected the announcement of his discovery to be greeted. Knowing that immediate intelligence of the outburst would be brought to her by himself, she watched from the windows of the great house each morning for a sight of his figure hastening down the glade. But he did not come. A long array of wet days passed their dreary shapes before her, and made the waiting still more tedious. On one of these occasions she ran across to the tower, at the risk of a severe cold. The door was locked. 2 days after she went again. The door was locked still. But this was only to be expected in such weather. Yet she would have gone on to his house, had there not been one reason too many against such precipitancy. As astronomer and astronomer there was no harm in their meetings, but as woman and man she feared them. 10 days passed without a sight of him, 10 blurred and dreary days, during which the whole landscape dripped like a mop, the park trees swabbed the gravel from the drive, while the sky was a zinc-colored archivolt of immovable cloud. It seemed as if the whole science of astronomy had never been real, and that the heavenly bodies, with their motions, were as theoretical as the lines and circles of a bygone mathematical problem. She could content herself no longer with fruitless visits to the column, and when the rain had a little abated she walked to the nearest hamlet, and in a conversation with the first old woman she met contrived to lead up to the subject of Swithin St. Cleeve, by talking about his grandmother. "Ah, poor old heart, 'tis a bad time for her, my lady!" exclaimed the dame. "What?" Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.